This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. President Bush meets today with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Both have just returned from the Middle East, where they've tried to gain support for a U.S. troop increase in Iraq. In an interview this week, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki said that Iraq's need for U.S. troops would go down dramatically if the U.S. speeds up what he called equipping and providing weapons to our military forces. But he blamed the United States for failing to fully equip Iraqi forces earlier, and he was equivocal on whether he believes the new strategy would succeed. Robin Wright is diplomatic correspondent for The Washington Post and joined us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
Always nice to be with you.
And much of whatever chance of success that the president's strategy has would seem to rest with the Iraqi government. How do you read Mr. al-Maliki's comments this week?
Well, clearly there's tension between Washington and Baghdad. The president has relied completely on the prime minister's ability to carry out a crackdown on the Mahdi militia, the other Sunni militias across the board, and without prejudice to his own religious brethren. And this is going to be a real challenge. The Iraqis, on the other hand, feel that they've been slighted by the administration, repeatedly embarrassed. The White House National Security Advisor, Steve Hadley, wrote a memo questioning Prime Minister Maliki's ability to carry through. The president has publicly, as have many in the administration, talked about the difficulties and the problems within the Iraqi administration. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice talked about the regime being on borrowed time. And this makes Maliki's job all the more difficult because this is a sign that the U.S. doesn't have much confidence in him. This weakens his ability in some ways to fulfill the things we need him to do most.
Mm. What significance do you put in Prime Minister al-Maliki's announcement that several hundred members of, in fact, the Mahdi Army, the Shiite militia group, which had backed his administration at one point, have now been detained?
This is the period of trial and testing for both the United States and the Iraqis. The next 3 to 6 months are really critical in figuring out whether Maliki can take the actions we require and whether we can get to a point with security in Baghdad that the U.S. can begin drawing back the troops that it will surge, the 21,000, and perhaps even begin redeploying its forces onto bases so that they're not out in kind of day-to-day confrontation with Iraqis. That's the ultimate goal. What we're seeing now is what the administration hopes is the beginning of an exit strategy.
And what would you make of Prime Minister al-Maliki's criticism that the U.S. had not given them adequate equipment and training up until this point? Because I can remember a point when people were saying, well, how good do we really want the equipment that we give to the Iraqi army when we're not always certain of their loyalties?
Not only their loyalties, but one of the questions is how strong do you want Iraq's army to be? Mm-hmm. One of the reasons we went into Iraq was because Saddam Hussein's army was so powerful. It was a threat to virtually all of its neighbors. It had engaged in an 8-year war with Iran. It had invaded Kuwait. Almost all of Saddam Hussein's time in power, he was in a position of aggression against one of his neighbors. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, how much equipment do you want a Shiite-dominated government to have? Clearly, there are Sunni governments in the region that don't want to see the Iraq having the big guns, the big artillery, the things that might give it an offensive capability.
Mm. How important has the Iranian question become in the prospect of the American question in Iraq at this point? Because Iran says they've been promised that 5 Iranians who are captured by U.S. troops are going to be freed within days.
One of the most interesting things to happen in the last couple of months is the way the whole Iraq problem has been redefined in terms of Iran. We've gone through weapons of mass destruction and democracy in the region, and now you see Iraq defined in terms of Iran's aggressive potential or its intentions. And in many ways, we're beginning to see the region divided up in the way the Cold War was, with Iran and its allies, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in the Palestinian territories, some of its allies in Iraq becoming part of what used to be the old Warsaw Bloc, and the United States and the conservative regimes, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, the Gulf Sheikhdoms, becoming the opposite bloc, the pro-Western bloc.
At the same time, Secretary of State, the Defense Secretary, Gates' new Defense Secretary, and White House spokesman Tony Snow have all been playing down the possibility of direct military action against Iran.
The reality is that the United States really doesn't have the capability to take on Iran militarily. So they're trying to avoid an escalation in military. At the same time, by deploying the USS Stennis out in the Gulf, by the kind of rhetoric that's coming out of the administration, it's beginning to draw a line in the sand.
Mm. And Secretary Rice has been in the region this week. What's she been able to accomplish?
Well, as the administration would argue, that it has managed to get some support from the conservative regimes for its Iraq strategy. It was tepid at best. Mm-hmm. It has, on the Arab-Israeli peace process, it has agreed to host a summit between the Israeli and Palestinian leaders at some point in the next month, and to hold a meeting in Washington on February 2nd. In reality, it doesn't take us anywhere substantively. It is all, at this point, still process. And that's been the administration's problem for the last 6 years. It's been engaged in a lot of process, but not much substance.
Robin Wright, diplomatic correspondent of The Washington Post, thanks very much.
Thank you.